This is the introduction to the New Inclusive Economy Project with acknowledgements at the end of the recording. Listen time is roughly 35 minutes. Introduction. The New Inclusive Economy is a BC-wide research project hosted by Inclusion Pullover Society, a community living organization located in the Cathet region. This project is funded by the Government of Canada and the Government of British Columbia through the Ministry of Post-Secondary Education and Future Skills that engages key partners in overseeing the research through a governance committee that includes the community living sector, business representatives, self-advocates, diverse economies thinkers and doers, and our government partners. We set out to research the role of the employer in creating inclusive workplaces for people with disabilities, as defined by the Accessible Canada Act, footnote 1. The Accessible Canada Act defines disability as any impairment, including a physical, mental, intellectual, cognitive, learning, communication, or sensory impairment, or a functional limitation, whether permanent, temporary, or episodic in nature, or evident or not, that in interaction with a barrier hinders a person's full and equal participation in a society. End footnote. Over the course of the two-year project from 2022 to 2023, which included a cross-sectoral look at the many unique ways in which employers across BC are providing inclusive jobs, including entrepreneurs with disabilities or solopreneurs, who are employers creating their own inclusive employment conditions. In this project, we consider the broader economy, the organizational structures under which the employer operates, and include approaches that may not be replicable in all contexts, but may point towards practices that have potential under certain conditions and for some populations. This is the reason we have opted to use the term promising practice in place of best practice. This report also includes a jurisdictional review which looks at legislation, policies, and programs outside of BC for the comparison, looking for both alignment and potential conflict around the practices identified in the New Inclusive Economy Project. The section called Promising Directions includes the next steps Inclusion Pullover Society feels needs to happen to shape the New Inclusive Economy. This is aimed at government, employers, and the organizations that support them. We have also created a summary section after the introduction, highlighting actionable tips for employers to be more inclusive, recognizing that there are a range of actions that are available to employers depending on their size, i.e. 10 or less employees versus larger employers. Organizational model or sector for the interview and focus group data collection report. In British Columbia, almost 29% of people over the age of 15 years old live with some form of disability, Statistics Canada 2022. Despite the tight labor market, people with disabilities currently have an unemployment rate 1.4 times higher as those without. On average, are working less paid hours and are more likely to be self-employed than those without disabilities. The picture is much the same nationally. The employment rate among those aged 25 to 64 with disabilities, 62%, compared to those without disabilities, 78% in 2022. Statistics Canada 2022. Also, a higher proportion of individuals with disabilities, 12.3%, are not actively seeking employment in contrast to the total population, 3.6%, despite their desire to work. The focus on demand-side or employer-side solutions is an important step towards addressing these inequalities, but as this research will point out, there are broader structural conditions of our economy that require multiple levels of society to respond. In 2022, one in 10 persons with disabilities reported experiencing barriers related to accessing indoor and outdoor public spaces, Statistics Canada 2022. Other barriers employers face include access to transportation for employees, especially in rural and remote areas and where businesses have had to move out of a city center due to rising costs, which connects employer experiences to the broader structure of our economy. Not surprisingly, real estate prices and the housing crisis impact inclusion. The Stronger BC Economic Plan acknowledges that if an economy is not working for people, then it's simply not working. Province of British Columbia, 2022. The evidence in this research report points toward a value-based shift that is required to lower barriers that prevent people with disabilities having access to work. In some cases, the evidence suggests that some employers are moving away from the old paradigm of profit before people, towards something that is more inclusive. This includes addressing structural barriers faced by employers that are very much within their control, including the acknowledgement that people with disabilities want to define and design workplaces that address these barriers, creating positions that offer more flexibility, such as part-time roles or remote work, and building more accessible spaces. We hope the learning from this project may contribute towards defining what an inclusive economy can look like in BC and the beginnings of a practical roadmap for how to get there. Inclusion Pullover Society has, in the past 6 years, invested in launching and operating workforce integration social enterprises, like OneLight, featured as a case study, as a means to creating more inclusive employment settings with a tested model of inclusive employment. This is one way to address the demand side of the equation and is effective, especially for creating employment conditions for those with complex disabilities who are the least likely to enter or remain in the labor market. Surprisingly, the evidence from NIE suggests that value and mission of the inclusive employers in BC may matter more than organizational structure. In other words, your organization doesn't have to be a co-op to use participatory decision-making, or you don't have to be a nonprofit to engage in community care, protect the environment, fight for gender rights, or create cultural safety for Indigenous employees. Research approach and methods. The research question guiding this process: what are the enabling structural conditions that create meaningful employment for people with disabilities and other barriers to employment? How can these be amplified and mobilized in other employment settings? The New Inclusive Economy Project undertook a combination of research methods developed in collaboration with three distinct research teams: the University of British Columbia, Canadian Institute for Inclusion and Citizenship, in partnership with Regenerum Consulting, produced an environmental scan, case studies, and a jurisdictional review. And Social Research Demonstration Corporation completed primary data collection through interviews and focus groups from employers across multiple sectors, as well as entrepreneurs who are disabled. Knowledge translation was led by Talking Circle, an Indigenous planning and communications firm. A diverse economies perspective was applied to this project to expand our view of what makes up the economy by considering values, well-being, and non-market transactions that relate to work such as childcare, elder care, or volunteering and alternative means of remuneration. The hope was to get a broader view of structural conditions that lead to meaningful work. This perspective was provided through the work of Regenerum Consulting, members of the Governance Committee, and the External Evaluator. The project took a phased approach with phase one, Where Are We Now?, which included a literature review, communication plan, and setup with the governance committees. Phase two, What Is Missing?, included an environmental scan conducted by Canadian Institute for Inclusion and Citizenship to provide a high-level overview of promising models of disability-inclusive employment in BC, with 87 completed surveys from all sectors and all regions. Phase three, Where Do We Want to Go?, this phase included 6 case studies conducted by the Canadian Institute for Inclusion and Citizenship and 15 interviews and 5 focus groups with 43 employers and entrepreneurs across multiple sectors in BC, conducted by Social Research and Demonstration Corporation. This included a mix of large and small entities, from solopreneurs to organizations with 100-plus employees, showcasing various organizational and economic models while prioritizing the inclusion of individuals with disabilities. Phase four, What Do We Learn?, included preset knowledge translation activities coordinated by Talking Circle, including a think tank of aspiring inclusive BC employers to contextualize what we were finding, and a business-to-business roadshow which traveled the Inclusion Pullover Society team to the 8 distinct regions of BC in June of 2023 to meet with employment service providers, local champions of inclusive employment, and inspiring inclusive employers to share local stories in relationship to the emerging evidence. The purpose of the interviews and focus groups was to understand employers' experiences, documenting promising practices, and uncovering enabling conditions and barriers. Employers and solopreneurs, self-employed individuals with disabilities, shared many employment practices that they felt are key to attracting and retaining employees with disabilities. The case studies are in-depth explorations of 5 organizations and businesses and 2 solopreneurs, and seeks to explore 3 main areas of inquiry. 1, what are the enabling conditions that exist within the workplace, i.e. accessible buildings, living wage, task modification? 2, how does the workplace respond to structural barriers that exist beyond its walls and culture, i.e. location on a bus route, flexible schedule, training managers about inclusion and nonviolent communication, actively fostering natural supports, business model, guiding values, internal workplace policies? And 3, what enabling structures are embedded in the workplace, i.e. stable baseline funding, political priorities at a government level, organizational partnerships, community support, economic context, and cultural norms? The findings contained in these reports show a need for more opportunities for employers to learn from one another, support specifically for entrepreneurs with disabilities, holistic approaches to inclusive employment that benefit all employees, the need to include people with disabilities in shaping their employment, and the need to address systemic barriers beyond the workplace and the broader environment and communities in which employers operate. Promising directions. The New Inclusive Economy Project engaged hundreds of employers from across BC who are taking steps every day to remove barriers for workers, including those with disabilities, despite the mounting pressures of the housing crisis, inflation, and a tight labor market, all which impact employers. If we are to achieve BC's goal to become the most accessible province in Canada, employers, who may also be people with disabilities, need more supports and opportunities to catalyze the practices in this report and address the external conditions employers are facing, such as more affordable housing, access to appropriate childcare, decolonization, and many more. The findings from this research are intended to help to guide employers across sectors and regions in BC. This includes the project lead, Inclusion Pullover Society, who will use these findings to transform ourselves into the employer of choice for all those with diverse abilities living in the Cathet region. With research, we often are left with more questions than answers. The following is a list of 5 promising directions in support of further exploration of this research and some key actions that can be taken by employers, service providers, and government to move us closer to a new inclusive economy. Promising direction number 1, organizational structure impact on disability inclusion. Employer challenges. Employers may operate within organizational structures that impact their ability to be disability inclusive. Examples include union-regulated workplaces that are playing a leadership role in creating a more diverse and inclusive workplace, but are needing to navigate collective bargaining agreements, or government-funded nonprofit organizations that have inclusion embedded in their values but have financial constraints, or employment settings that could benefit from more inclusive practices but have a culture that discourages employees with disabilities to seek out more inclusion, flexibility, and accessible working conditions. This could be creating tensions and competing interests that get in the way of lowering barriers. Employers in the interviews and focus groups also often spoke of sectoral and organizational considerations together, highlighting both challenges and opportunities to be inclusive. For example, many nonprofit and public sector employers emphasize that diversity in the workplace should reflect the broader public that they serve. At the same time, public funding requirements often constrain these employers' abilities to be flexible and explore alternative employment models. Employers also noted specific sectoral considerations, including recent volatility in both the technology and manufacturing sectors. For example, the technology sector employers noted a deprioritization of disability-inclusive initiatives following the restructuring of many companies, while manufacturing employers saw both opportunities to include people living with disabilities in certain roles while being limited by the physical constraints of the manufacturing environment for other roles. Promising direction. The data collection from the New Inclusive Economy pointed towards values being more important than organizational structure. In the interviews and focus groups, social purpose-oriented organizations such as nonprofits and social enterprises and other employers as well didn't necessarily see the link between their specific organizational structure and being inclusive. Instead, value and mission were more important. In all case studies, profit was equal or lesser in importance than the social purpose, regardless of the organizational structure of the business. This warrants further examination of what is motivating employers from different organizational structures to take on disability inclusion as a value and a mission. The environmental scan conducted at the beginning of the New Inclusive Economy Project asked 3 questions to indicate the diversity of the business and organization's leadership, specifically representation of Indigenous, First Nations, Inuit, and Métis, and individuals with disabilities. 20 respondents identified that their business, organization is owned or led by an Indigenous, First Nation, Inuit, or Métis person. This represents 22% of respondents. This is promising for the inclusion of Indigenous voices, as they may be strong. There may be a strong connection between Indigenous leadership and inclusivity. Key actions. Research that gains a larger sample size of differently structured organizations and businesses, but also includes data collection from employees with and without disabilities. Opportunities for organizations to gather and share how their social mission impacts their inclusivity. This could include a diversity of differently structured organizations. And research that explores the connection between Indigenous leadership and disability inclusion. Promising direction number two. Addressing structural conditions and the diverse economy's approach. Employer challenges. There is a lack of understanding, and we would argue valuing, of how employers are supporting employees in their well-being outside of work, such as childcare, elder care, and the community benefits like volunteering. In general, well-being outside of work has fallen on the shoulders of employees, especially women. Promising direction. A diverse economies framework was intended to expand our understanding of what makes up the economy. It's the new in the new inclusive economy and asks us to look beyond market transactions and paid labor and include unpaid, alternative pay, and different market forms that can be important to belonging and inclusion. New inclusive economy data collection highlights a few great HR practices that do consider well-being beyond the time we spend at work, like health spending accounts, flexible work arrangements like remote work, a culture that supports value for contribution, not measured by hours worked, but output and quality of work. The Social Economy Division of Inclusion Pelliver Society has explored in depth employees' experience of work serving as a place to create connection and build community through our social enterprise models. The entrepreneurs with disabilities or solopreneurs featured in the New Inclusive Economy case studies also reflected on the possibility presented when work conditions meet personal and professional needs. The New Inclusive Economy found that social purpose organizations are still trying to find ways to track and measure economic and social impacts that go beyond people having a job and consider overall well-being as an important impact. How we measure impact may also be a structural condition that is limiting the possibilities for a more inclusive workplace and the new inclusive economy. The jurisdictional scan highlights Quebec's unique approach where principles of equality, access, collaboration, mutual benefit are entrenched in legal frameworks that only exist in Quebec. The welfare program in Quebec is poignantly referred to as the social solidarity, which reflects the culture around mutual aid and social supports. Key actions. Human resources practices that improve well-being for all employees within the workplace, not just people with disabilities. Collaboration between human services and sector and government funders with the express purpose of identifying and removing barriers with priorities given to housing, childcare, elder care, transportation, and community engagement. Research that is place-based or regional ethnographic methodological approach. In other words, taking a deep dive into specific communities to see how employers are fostering empowerment, autonomy, security, and belonging by and for people with disabilities and other employees. This methodology would also allow for more exploration in what employees with disabilities consider meaningful work. And based on our learning from the New Inclusive Economy Business-to-Business Roadshow, may be better approach to engage Indigenous-led organizations and businesses. Experimentation with different impact measures that qualify the importance of well-being and not just numbers. This could include pilot projects and initiatives within the employment ecosystem that qualify well-being for employees with and without disabilities at and outside of work. Further work to define and explore the social and solidarity economy in BC. Promising direction number three, self-employment as a choice for entrepreneurs with disabilities. Employer challenge. Entrepreneurs with disabilities may be choosing self-employment as a reaction to a lack of autonomy and systemic barriers such as ableism faced at work. The new inclusive economy research clearly demonstrated that lived experience of disability was a key motivator for entrepreneurs to start their own business. Barriers experienced included the culture of full-time employment and a lack of flexible work arrangements. Being self-employed also presented problems, such as a lack of sufficient supports for addressing their mental and physical health care needs. Focus group participants frequently felt that the supports for entrepreneurs with disabilities were unclear or difficult to navigate compared to those for persons with disabilities in traditional workplaces. The jurisdictional scan points out that the Canadian Employment Equity Act requires that employees disclose their disabilities for employees to address barriers. Promising directions. We would not ask entrepreneurs with disabilities to carry the burden of educating more traditional employers about how to be inclusive. Instead, entrepreneurs need more support and flexibility, and at the same time, there needs to be further work done to include people with disabilities in decision-making at an organizational level, which may provide work conditions that allow entrepreneurs to stay in employment, or to provide conditions that demonstrate a true freedom to choose. Another promising direction is how entrepreneurs are driving a culture of inclusion through their work. Entrepreneurs with disabilities, as solopreneurs, passed on their culture, values, and commitment to inclusion to customers. One example, a solopreneur offered sliding scale rates for clients who are Black, Indigenous, or trans-identifying. The jurisdictional scan includes reference to a program operated in the Yukon that provides individualized supports to entrepreneurs with disabilities that may show promise. Key actions. Small business support specifically designed for people with disabilities to start and run businesses includes grants that have for-profit eligibility and include human-to-human peer support, especially during startup phase. Pilot projects, research to test and demonstrate how to best support entrepreneurs with disabilities. If delivered through organizations that support entrepreneurs, ensuring knowledge translation is shared. Provincial government policy review of allowable earnings exemptions as they apply to small business owners on disability income supports. The current model does not take into account the ebb and flow of income experienced by small business owners. Market research conducted by employer representative groups on the role of lived experience in accessible products and services. Promising direction number four, the shift to employer demand-side solutions. Employer challenge. There is still much we need to learn about the barriers employers are reinforcing with their practices and culture, and those barriers they are actively removing. There is currently no broad way of registering inclusive organizations to find like-minded employers within sectors. Promising direction. Historically, the focus of inclusive employment has been on individuals with disabilities finding and maintaining work. And in recent years, we have seen a shift in the funding landscape towards supporting more demand-side solutions, including support for the New Inclusive Economy Project. Possible emerging trends in terms of creating critical mass around employers to take up inclusive employment and being part of a new inclusive economy include service organizations shifting focus from job seekers to employers, organizations creating inclusive employment awards, businesses joining communities of practice to learn from one another on their journey to becoming more inclusive, and at a municipal level, advocating for community-wide inclusion charters so local efforts can be adopted more widely without putting all the pressure on smaller inclusive employers. Case studies demonstrated that external supportive employment agencies were not instrumental in the organizations becoming inclusive. The same was true for external training. When taking place, it was not made mandatory or consistent across the enterprises, a possible reflection that it was not necessarily given the overall culture of the enterprise. This warrants further exploration of how we can support employers to consider the mission and values of their business to address disability inclusion and how external supportive employment agencies might play a role. Case studies include equity-seeking groups such as visible minorities or Indigenous leaders who have faced barriers and inequality at work and therefore seek to create more inclusive workplaces because of this experience. This may be an excellent area for exploration for projects considering intersectionality. The response to wage subsidies as a policy mechanism to support employees with disabilities through supporting employers is divergent. Many saying they were not worth the effort to get them on wage subsidies due to the quickly shifting labor market with employees moving easily between jobs or jobs being seasonal or part-time that made wage subsidies too complicated. Some employers appreciated them for training while also saying that they were insufficient to cover the cost of onboarding a new employee and others reporting that once the subsidy ends, so does the position for the individual. The jurisdictional scan presents multiple employer-side solutions being developed across Canada, such as the Government of Canada, of Ontario's website, providing resources to help employers to become more inclusive, including case studies from different businesses. Internationally, there are many unique approaches to demand-side solutions, such as Finland's annual Disability Employment Forum that connects employers, educational institutions, and rehabilitation programs. Italy is consolidating practices into a central database, and as of 2019, had 20% of Italian companies were adopting non-mandated measures to enhance diversity at work. Key actions. Continued support of employment service providers shifting efforts to support employers. Support for employer-led communities of practice, where employers who are already demonstrating a value and mission that is inclusive can support those who want to be more inclusive. Municipal government support communities in adopting and advancing disability inclusion charters in addition to the Accessible Canada Act requirements. Research that explores the role of customized employment practices being adopted across different populations of people with disabilities may further provide promising practices that would benefit employers to becoming more inclusive and help to further define the conditions that can enable meaningful work. Training allowances in places of wage subsidies to support employers in onboarding. Promising practice number 5, the role of government policy and the socio-ecological model. Employer challenge. Government policies and programs can be challenging for employers and entrepreneurs when it comes to funding, wage subsidy, and the profound impact of provincial disability assistance, or PWD. The frameworks in place to support disability inclusion have not in the past been informed by people with disabilities themselves, especially those living on the margins. And when it comes to the emphasis of meaningful employment and well-being at work, legislation does not yet reflect these values. Interviews and focus groups with inclusive employers highlight how employers are not only influenced by their immediate operational settings, but also by the wider societal and environmental factors at play, including how these are shaped by policy and government programs. From a socio-ecological model perspective, there is a need to recognize how the workplace is shaped by other processes across systems, while also having a profound impact on individuals. Employers expressed a range of experiences and options on the availability and effectiveness of supports to include people with disabilities in the workplace, as well as how they navigate other government supports for people with disabilities. They also expressed a lack of publicly available support to address complex barriers for employment, including mental health and a high cost of living, as well as key challenges in the built environment, for example, transportation and accessible infrastructure. Figure 1, the social ecological model, is a series of 5 nested circles. In the outer circle is structure. Structural includes policy, legislative context, including programs and benefits, economic and labor market context, and distribution of resources and wealth, ableism and discrimination. The second nested circle is titled community. Community partners, service and supports, location, accessibility of transportation, housing, and community values. The third nested circle is organizational. Organizational structure, roles, policies and practices, products or services designed for people with disabilities. The fourth is interpersonal. Positive attitudes and behaviors towards disability and differences, communication styles, and team dynamics. And 5, individual. Age, education, employment background, lived experience of personal connection to a person living with a disability. Promising direction. Accessibility legislation, both federal and provincial, has triggered the adoption of proactive accessibility committees, which must include people with disabilities, and the nonprofit sector in particular, have made efforts to ensure diversity at a leadership and board level. Public policy, seen through a lens of disability inclusion, could have a big impact for the overall picture of the new inclusive economy in BC. The jurisdictional scan report includes many examples of how other provinces in Canada are supporting employers through legislation and policies that not only help remove barriers, but establish that those who perpetuate barriers are responsible for removing them. Manitoba's Accessibility Fund shows promise in providing grants to organizations removing barriers, or Saskatchewan's Human Rights Code, which allows nonprofit organizations to give preference to employment of individuals with disabilities. From a socio-ecological model perspective, governments can go beyond accessibility legislation to enable conditions of accessibility and inclusion from the built environment, providing incentives for inclusive employment in the form of training grants or subsidies, and providing funding and resources for demand-side interventions that help employers build their own inclusion capacity and capabilities. As well, governments can adopt inclusive design principles into their own development of programs and services to ensure greater accessibility, usability, and flexibility for all people. Continuing to invest in pilot programs that test innovative inclusive design solutions and scale successful initiatives is an important way to continue to learn and create evidence-based solutions to build the inclusive capacity of employers. Case studies included OneLight, which in the past was provided special permissions to allow those working in a social enterprise to keep all earnings, including disability benefits. This resulted in a shift towards full-time work. Key actions. Include people with disabilities in writing and understanding the framework governments are putting in place to support disability inclusion. Policy experimentation on temporary exemptions of disability benefits could result in more people with disabilities training to full-time employment. Create funding programs that directly support employers to become more inclusive, take on leadership roles in supporting demand-side solutions. And finally, acknowledgements. We acknowledge with respect and gratitude that the New Inclusive Economy Project is hosted by Inclusion Pullover Society, which operates on the traditional and treaty territory of the Klahomin people, who are a self-governing nation. We express gratitude to the Ministry of Post-Secondary and Future Skills for funding through the Sector Labor Market Partnership Program. We are also grateful for funding from the Victoria Foundation for additional support for this project. Huge thanks goes out to Matt Hearn, PhD, and Susan Sterling Burr for providing additional ethical oversight of the research process, helping us to define our approach to consider diverse economies and Indigenous perspectives. Special thanks to Janet Newberry and Davis McKenzie for the literature review and communications ideas, all which contributed to the existence of this project and an excellent starting place. Reaching employers requires a lot of help, so sincere thank you to Tech and People Network, or TAP, Manufacturing BC, formerly the BC Alliance of Manufacturing, Vantage Point, Employee to Empower, and Work BC Terrace, who took time to connect us with organizations who were involved in focus groups. Dozens of organizations took part in 10 events across BC as part of the New Inclusive Economy Business-to-Business Roadshow. A few folks went above and beyond and need special recognition, including Unity and the City of Surrey, the amazing crew at Work BC Terrace, Share, Reuse, Repair, and the City of Smithers for our combined event exploring the circular economy and inclusivity, CMHA Northern BC, St. Eugene's Golf Resort, the City of Fort St. John, and Elder Gary Oker from Doig River First Nation for your generosity and the full tour of your nation's accessibility projects. You welcomed us into your community, and we are so hopeful for the future because of your commitment to inclusion. We cannot overstate the importance of the role of our governance and experts and innovators committees, who attended meetings, read research reports, answered our calls across continents, attended media interviews, and helped guide and shape this research. Committee members included Karina Curtis, David Morris, Jack Stian, Jennifer Hinton, Karishma Zaman, Carla Vershoor, Lila Tipton, Alice Henry, Tamara Schulman, Arlette Rayan, Barb McLeod, Joanna Lee, Marcus Ewart-Johns, Michelle Lackey, Stephanie Hollingshead, Katie Miller, Anju, and Yat Lee. Special acknowledgement is due to the late Rupert Downing and his family for all his contributions to the work of community economic development. Thank you for asking tough questions and cheering us on. Lastly, we thank Post-Secondary and Future Skills team members Karishma Zaman and Vashi Thiessen for being supportive in many ways.